I want to start with that whole Tyreek Jones thing. It was just very odd, obviously, that we had this manhunt for him, find him, which is fantastic, obviously, police work, and then learn, wait a minute here, he's not the guy. Walk us through that. How did that happen?
Sure. Well, I can't get into all the specifics right now, but I guess I would just point out that I think some people think this is some kind of an anomaly. And if you look broadly, and in my experience, these investigations, when it's chaotic scenes like this, multiple people involved, this is not unusual that we develop probable cause to arrest someone for a crime or the crime. And once we locate them, we get additional information that provides some more clarity that points us in a different direction. And you need only look at just here's two examples recently. Charlie Kirk, they arrested someone right away. Turned out to be the wrong guy. Brown University, just last week, mass shooting out there. Arrested someone, thought they had the right guy, had the wrong guy. And so these are just part of very complex police investigations. Certainly our team has taken a look at our processes and reviewing all of that in this incident. But we are well on our way to, I think, making some really good progress for the family in this case. We hope to have some updates maybe even later this week. But we're in the midst of that right now. So I'll just kind of leave it there.
All right. Well, that sounds like some nuggets of good news there that we'll just be patient about and maybe hear something soon. That I guess, you can't get in the eye, you can't get in the mind of anybody. That's sort of a fool's errand. But it's odd if this guy had information that cleared him, for lack of a better term, and led the investigation in a different direction. Why are you on the run? Isn't that odd?
Yeah. No, I agree. And as I said, I don't want to get too much into the weeds on it right now, Scott. I don't disagree with that. But I think in deference to the family and the investigation, we'll probably have more to say down the road on it all. But we need to play it through and get the right person here.
I want to ask you just a little bit about the perception of crime in Fargo, as well as our wonderful frontline men in blue, women in blue. You're doing these community beat meetings. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'll tell you, and thanks for that question. I wanted to touch on that. So over the last month, we've had our beat meetings, beat 4 and beat 5, southeast and southwest parts of the city. And as we focus in these individual areas, it's pretty clear that the issues that happen there are property-related crime, not so much the violent crime issues. And what we're hearing from folks are, and some of the comments actually too, are they're really happy that we made it down to their area and that we're looking and recognizing them as part of the city. Sometimes there's kind of a myopic focus on certain areas of the city. Downtown's always a big one, which sure is important, but we've got a big city here of 50 square miles. And so we've had some really great engagement with community members in those areas. We've actually are 10% down through November in crime this year. So, statistically really good. Perception-wise, I think it varies in different areas of town. We've talked about that before, and a lot of it is, some of these other issues, addiction, homelessness, and mental health that we continue to work with other partners on to try and address. Some of it's out of our control. But, I could say this. So great engagement on all of that. But, for a community message, too, what we're seeing in terms of the largest volume of crimes, motor vehicle thefts, 48% of them, the vehicles are unlocked, 23% they're running when stolen, or 39% the keys are in. So we could cut those crimes quite a bit. And for Christmas, we always suggest, hey, buy your loved one an automatic car starter, because you can start your car and warm it up. We all get how beneficial that is, but no one can steal it because there's no keys with it and it can't go anywhere. So it's a pretty cheap investment, not only in your own safety, but in reducing those crimes. What we're seeing in terms of burglaries, 67% of our residential burglaries in the city are of garages. So garages, two houses, right? 69% of those are apartments. And so, again, just making sure that you keep your garage locked. Don't leave valuables even in your car in the garage or outside of your apartment building or in those underground parking garages are an area of concern for this type of activity also. So really just some preventative tips for everyone there that would really help reduce that and keep some of your property safe.
I know you have pushed back a little bit on the perception related to crime statistics in the past, and you obviously just went through a few benchmarks there where, you know, you can take this into your own hands a little bit and bring those numbers down. As you look at those numbers, is there an area where you say that's alarming and we need to focus on it and change it? Any red flags in the crime stats?
Well, just about all of our major violent crimes have double-digit reductions, but that doesn't mean that we still don't want to reduce them more. So, I mean, certainly, you know, aggravated assaults are down 23% year-to-date. Robberies down 26%. These are significant. 74 fewer robberies, 294 fewer aggravated assaults. Overall, we've got in the area of over 1,200 fewer crimes citywide, Class A offenses. So we're still concentrating in those areas, and that's a big focus of our technology with the Real-Time Crime Center and other things that we're doing. I think in terms of volume, what's really up a lot and continues to be up is shoplifting and those types of thefts. And so what we'd really like to do if we get some additional bandwidth, and by that I mean personnel and other things, because we're doing everything we can with the resources we have. But, you know, there's some opportunities for us to work with identified stores, because we can look at our data, and actually if folks go on our website, all this is on there in detail. It'll even show you, it'll comment on here's the top four stores that are the subject of shoplifting. And so actually we did beat five a couple nights ago. 59% of all shoplifting offenses for the whole city, 59% happen in Beat 5.
Where is Beat 5? Where is Beat 5?
Southwest Fargo. So we've got Shields, Walmart, West Acres, and Target.
Okay.
And we're adding another Target into that Beat area this next year. So we see that in our data. We don't have the bandwidth to go in there and start working with them at this juncture, but that would be another iteration of community engagement and some proactive crime prevention is, you know, what honing in even further on these areas and what's being stolen, how's the store set up, and working with those security and stores. So, I mean, there's other things we could do, but I think our bandwidth right now is we're doing really well with what we have. But, you know, this data just lends itself to more opportunities to help reduce crime.
By the way, characterize for me the shoplifting concern that you have. Excuse me. I'm a frog in my throat all week here. You know, versus, I don't know, one-offs, I'll call them. Somebody that, you know, whatever, makes a stupid decision, steals something, versus some of these syndicates, if you will, or a methodical plan that I'm going to go to Shields and I'm going to go to, you know, Target and I'm going to West Acres. You know, either larger groups or just people that do this for a living. What range do you see, and where's the biggest problem?
I think these organizations that float around nationally, you know, when they're in your area, you know it, and they hit and they leave. And so I think the most pervasive, that's not the most pervasive. They're the most certainly acute when they're here. But overall, we've got, I mean, shoplifting and thefts are driven by a lot of things, you know, addiction, all kinds of other things that cause people to commit theft and shoplifting. And we see a lot of repetitive local folks. You know, this is a crime that I guess you would have to look at from the prosecution side and, you know, what's the accountability on it, what's being done. And I think for a lot of reasons, we're seeing a lot of the same people in this area, in this space, you know. And so and the other thing is I think technology is getting better on the stores. They're able to detect this more. And we're seeing a lot of excellent reporting online as well. So, you know, there's also a piece that, you know, the ability to report this online could increase some of the numbers, the reporting itself, or maybe we wouldn't have been contacted before. Really hard to say at this juncture. But I think we've seen shoplifting as our high-end mark the last couple of years for sure in our stats. So it's a pretty persistent problem across the board.
Last question I want to ask you a little bit is about downtown. You know, a lot of discussion, both from citizens and from you know, the commission and some, you know, non-government organizations want to get into their hand around the homeless situation, the perceptions down there related to crime. What kind of progress do you think we made and on the drawing board for changes do you think will help?
Well, I think I'm very pleased with the progress that on the police. I mean, and we're working in partnership with public health in the city and all that. But on the police department side, I'm really pleased with our response to the downtown situation. You know, we identified pre-summer that there was an issue with calling the police about some of these circumstances versus calling other entities who, you know, may be limited in response. So, well, once we uncovered that, we also rolled out our trikes and our additional personnel downtown. I think we've had a great year downtown. Our cops down there are doing tremendous work, not just in, you know, arrests and prevention, but in dealing with a lot of the mental health issues, addiction issues. And again, these are a lot of the same people time and time again, and it's hard for all of them involved. So I think we're doing great. I know that our response from many of the shop owners and business owners down there is very positive. We've enhanced our real-time crime center. We just signed a really good agreement with Bell Bank, who has graciously signed on to our flock camera system through the Wing Gateway. So they're external cameras that we didn't have access to before, which has a large footprint downtown, is now available to our real-time crime center. And, you know, we're looking to add additional businesses into that footprint. So I think as we continue to expand, and also we need to expand our ability to staff the real-time crime center, because we got to have people there, or, you know, we're not getting the full benefit. So we're making progress there. And so I think from a downtown perspective, a lot of improvement. And I guess we'll see as the deck potentially transitions to the new location. I do think that from a perception problem for sure, and even maybe in some cases a reality piece of some of the crime, that we may see some additional improvements. But, you know, we have to see that plan roll out and see what happens from there.
All right. Well, I encourage people to go to these community beat meetings. I mean, I'm just now getting a chance to look at the text string here, and a lot of concerns from people and criticisms and whatnot. And I just encourage people to engage, really just to get involved and have these one-on-one dialogues with folks to get to the bottom of it. We'll have these conversations as we go into the new year. Thanks, Chief. Appreciate your time.
Thanks. Have a Merry Christmas.
You as well. Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabalski.